I'm Jonna Johnson. I'm the CEO and founder of Nemertes Research, and I'm here to give you the top five tips for enabling perimeterless protection. Well, first off, the first tip is to understand what it means for the perimeter to go away and take an honest look at how far your architecture has evolved from one that can be protected via a perimeter to one that's truly perimeterless. Just a little recap, the perimeter is the notion that there's a safe inside to your infrastructure and a dangerous outside. And that's the mindset behind things like firewalls, which separate the good from the bad, the safe from the unsafe. We've migrated quite a way from the old school architecture where the resources you were protecting and the people you were protecting were on facilities that were physically protected by firewalls. So most folks have moved long past that architecture. But how far really have you moved out to a cloud-based mobile architecture? What are some of the questions you should be asking yourself? Well, one of the things to look at is where the majority of your workloads are executing. Are they executing in a private data center, in a private cloud environment, which is similar to a private data center, or are they out there on infrastructure as a service? The companies that Nemertes benchmarks say that about 74% of their workloads are actually virtualized, which means knowing where they're executing can be a little more challenging than you think. Even if you know where they are today, you really want to be thinking about where they're going to be by the end of 2015. So take a look at the current and future trends among your workloads. Where are they headed? Also look at traffic flows through your network. What percentage of your traffic is going from branches to internal data centers versus branches to the internet, remote users to the internet, branches or remote users to cloud services, either across a private network or the internet? And oh, by the way, what are the top 10 or top 12 sites that your users are hitting and why? And how is that going to change? You really want to look at that not just as a snapshot for today, but how that's going to change over time. And while you're looking at these things, what percentage of your users typically work remotely? How often are they on facilities? How often are they off facilities? And by remotely, we're really defining not in company-owned facilities. They could be at client sites, they could be out in the field, they could be at home. How is that changing? Are you getting more consolidated and having more people on site, or fewer people on site with more people interacting virtually? And finally, as you're taking this honest look, take an honest look at your cloud strategy. And by honest look, I really mean, what is your official cloud strategy? Many of our clients say, oh, we're not going to the cloud. Our official strategy is that's insecure. We can't do it. What's unofficially happening is IT is losing control of what's going on, and end users are actually spinning up infrastructure as a service like Amazon Web Services and Azure, as well as software as a service, which virtually everyone is using. So take a look at what you're officially planning to do in your organization vis-a-vis cloud over the next couple of years and what's unofficially happening. So really look at the degree to which the perimeter is opening up and dissolving in your organization. That's the first tip. The second tip is pretty obvious. Map your security strategy to that architecture. If you're one of those lucky companies that's highly perimeter-based and you're planning to stay that way, you really don't need to make a lot of changes to your technology or your strategy. You're perfectly fine with up-to-date versions of anti-malware, firewalls, SIEM, same, pen testing, and that's security incident and event management and penetration testing. But I would also say look to your left and look to your right, because you will probably be the only company left standing with that strategy after the next couple of years. So if you are truly going to stay in a perimeter-based architecture, you don't need to change. If you're like most people, you probably do, and you really want to think about revising your strategy. And the next couple of tips we'll talk about how. So as you're revising your strategy towards a perimeterless environment, you should start with thinking about a user-centric policy and processes. Instead of thinking about protecting the resources or even the content, think about what the users should be able to do, their access and their permissions, and how that's going to change with where they're located, time of day, how senior they are, where their job functions change, and think about how those capabilities, the access and permissions, are going to follow that user in an automated fashion in your organization, so that instead of you learning from HR that somebody got a promotion 3 months ago and they should have access to application XYZ, that should happen automatically. When HR makes that change, that should ripple through the system and suddenly the access should appear. Or vice versa, when somebody leaves, all the obvious, the accesses should shut down. As you know, that's very, very difficult to do in a lot of cases. So again, tip three is really start with that user-centric policy and processes. Tip four is, well, guess what? Look at some new technologies. It's great that you have anti-malware, it's great that you have firewalls, it's great that you have SimSame, and it's great that you have pen testing. Those are table stakes. They are not going away. You're not going to get rid of them. You need them, but you want to add to that three to four critical technologies, and I'll explain why I'm fuzzy on the three to four. First is data leakage prevention. You want a tool in place that's monitoring your structured and unstructured data to make sure that it's not going where it shouldn't. And that's the kind of thing that would have helped Sony out enormously had they had it in place. Most organizations think, oh, that's too rich for our blood. We're not working with, you know, extremely sensitive intellectual property. Actually, you are. You probably have a lot of information that can be used by today's criminals, because there's a high value to a lot of the information you have. You want to know whose eyeballs are on it. So think about DLP tools and technologies. Second, think about secure web gateways, so you're actually monitoring the applications and content that are coming into your organization. Not just the actual traffic, but the applications as well, so you can get a sense of where people are going. Are they touching sites that are potentially infected? Are they opening themselves up to advanced threats? You want tools that let you do that. And by the way, both DLP and secure web gateways are now becoming available as cloud solutions. Then you want to look at advanced security analytics, typically based on big data. Why big data? It sounds like yet another buzzword. The real value here is that you're able to find out what you don't know you were looking for. And that's really what big data gives you. That's the advantage that big data gives you. You can find out what's going on that you may not have known to specifically query. And a subcategory of that that's particularly interesting, which is why I said three to four advanced technologies, is user behavioral analytics. And these are tools that use big data techniques to essentially tell you when a user is doing something that they shouldn't be doing without you having to say, this is what a user should do, tell me if they do anything different. This is actually the ability to learn, to watch, in real time understand what users are doing, and to notice if there's an anomaly, because either that user has been infected and his or her machine is misbehaving, or perhaps the user himself is misbehaving. So some of the technologies you really want to look at, again, are DLP, secure web gateways, advanced security analytics based on big data, and in particular, user behavior analytics. Finally, rethink your current and needed skill set in light of all of this. That may seem kind of obvious, but maybe you want fewer firewall gurus and a few more big data specialists. There's also the broader question of the balance between technical subject matter experts and people who have a broader understanding of risk and risk portfolios. And what I mean by that is, yes, you do need people who understand the technology, and you certainly need people who understand security, but you also need people who understand how to prioritize risks so you can tackle the things that matter most. Because the truth is, you're never going to be able to boil the ocean. There's so much going on that, you know, unless you have a good framework for assessing risk from a business perspective, you're going to have some real challenges figuring out what to do next. And also, last but not least in this current and needed skill set assessment, make sure you've got someone staying current on all emerging threats, monitoring, you know, all the social networks, monitoring everything, really whose job it is to know when something's coming out. When there's an assault or a framework appearing like the Inception framework that is potentially threatening, you want to stay on top of that. So the bottom line here is, we've been talking about perimeterless for a long time, and in fact it's almost taken as a fact that you need perimeterless protection. But what we're seeing now in 2015 is that it's finally happening, and it's time to take action if you're a security professional. So those are my five tips. Take an honest look at how far your architecture has evolved and continues to evolve towards perimeterless, and do that by taking a very technical look at where the workloads are going, where the traffic is going, and what sites the users are hitting, and what applications they're using, and both now and in the future. Map your security strategy to your architecture. Develop a user-centric policy and processes. Assess and deploy some emerging technologies, particularly DLP, secure web gateways, advanced security analytics, and user behavioral analytics, and rethink your skill set in light of all this. Thanks very much. That's been my top five tips. Take care.